Blog Talk Radio.
And to preview the U.S. Open, it is my pleasure to welcome back our friend Steve Hennessy, Associate Editor of Golf Digest and the Executive Editor of the Golf Digest Sticks Equipment Newsletter. Hello, sir.
Hey, Jeremy. How you doing?
I'm fine. Let's start here. For the last couple of days, you and I have been sitting on social media, and we have seen player after player post video after video of the penal rough at Oakmont. I don't see how under par wins. I honestly believe 5-over to 10-over, and I'm saying this early in the week, will win this golf tournament. This setup looks brutal.
Yeah, you know, some of it depends on course conditions and the weather, too. So if they get a little rain, it'll play a little softer, and that might make some of the pin locations sort of play a little easier. So I think that might make some of the holes a little easier, but no, I mean, it's going to put the ultimate premium on keeping the ball in the fairway and staying below the hole. I would not want to be in the rough here. You know, Phil Mickelson in 07 is joking that the course was dangerous while they played it out there. So while that was sort of a stretch, it looks like nothing that anyone would want to play out of, and this is our national championship, so it's going to be the ultimate test, just as USGA wants every year, and yeah, it's going to be fun.
You know, it's fascinating, because you look at the video like Grant McDowell posted of how tough it was for his club to head through the rough, and then you see the pictures that some caddies have posted of balls that just on the greens will roll and roll and roll. To me, it's not one of those being the biggest factor. It's the combination thereof, because if you're in the rough and can't have spin and these greens being so firm, these shots are just going to scoot and scoot and scoot, and that's where this becomes so troublesome, because you just can't get the ball close to the hole, and you can make a big number before you even realize it.
Yeah. In 1922, just to give you an idea of how tough Oakmont has played throughout history, Gene Saracen said Oakmont has all the charm of a sock on the head. So, I mean, and there's quotes from, you know, Hogan and all these guys from back in the day just saying how much they hated playing here. Bobby Jones, you know, couldn't stand it. It's the ultimate test of golf, and it's funny, for some reason, how tough this course plays. It doesn't take away from its character and its place in history and its place in golf and its importance in golf course architecture. It's kind of the rare example of a tough course that is, you know, accepted within, you know, the landscape of golf. So while it's a brutal test, and the guys, we're going to get comments throughout the week. You know, we're recording this on Monday, and, you know, there's just going to be comments on comments, you know, from Thursday through Sunday of how brutal it is, how not fun it is. At the end of the day, we're going to have probably a great and worthy champion. So that's what the USGA wants, and I bet that's what they'll get.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because when we talk about the architecture, they have removed so many trees, and the June Golf Digest had these gorgeous pictures taken early in the morning of Oakmont without the trees. You and I have both played golf for years, and it's fascinating for me because when you go to a golf course that you like and are comfortable on, you have your lines. And for so many of these veterans, their lines are not there, and they are now looking into sky, and it's got to be unsettling having no clue where to aim on some of these holes where you may have had a tree in the past to aim at. I think these practice rounds, besides not tiring yourself from the stress, are going to be very important in terms of finding comfort as to where to hit the ball off the tee, because if you don't have the right line, you are in big trouble.
Yes, I think in general, experience with the course here and local knowledge is of utmost importance. You know, knowing where to miss, that's kind of what's going to separate guys here more so than maybe other courses and championships. So, you know, maybe there were trees in the past that helped guys. I think what the scuttlebutt is that these trees were sort of outside the realm of play. So, you know, maybe they were in the line of sight for some guys, you know, beyond greens and such. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's a similar look to what we saw in 2007. There were some trees on the course, but even prior to 2007, they had removed over 7,000 trees before then, and then they removed another 7,000 before 2016 this year, according to our Ron Witten in his Oakmont preview. So, you know, pretty similar looks, I think, but it doesn't take away from the fact that course knowledge and knowing where to miss and, you know, being familiar with your lines is going to be a huge factor here.
Yeah. Talking with Steve Hennessy from Golf Digest about the U.S. Open, you know, somebody like Kevin Foley, who obviously was your fellow Penn State alum, someone who I played with back in the day, you know, he gets in on Monday. And then there are guys like Jordan Spieth who were there 6 weeks ago practicing. And guys like Kevin Foley who haven't been playing on tough tournament setups during the year versus the PGA Tour guys and the guys from overseas who have been. I really think this is a week where course knowledge is a factor, but also having played on tough setups already this year will help. Because if you're not used to this, it's a mental shock to your body of having to pitch out of rough. This is the only time all year, basically, that this is going to happen to these guys until the Open Championship. And if you have not had a tough setup in 2016 before, this is a big shock to the system.
Yeah, I think that's certainly true. You know, being used to that mindset and playing that sort of golf, you know, that par is a good score, isn't your usual tournament setup. You know, if you look at the web.com tour, you're looking at mid to high teens usually winning, you know, on a given week on these other tours other than the PGA Tour. And even on the PGA Tour, these guys, you know, they enjoy playing setups that are just birdie fest. So, you know, when you go to an RBC Heritage or some of these tougher courses like the Valspar, you know, the Innisbrook course there, not everyone loves these setups. I mean, we even saw Will Wilcox tweet early last week that, you know, he didn't even try to qualify for the U.S. Open because he's not interested in playing a golf course like Oakmont.
Yeah.
So there's going to be guys in the field with a similar mindset that, you know, when they make a bogey or a double bogey, can they recover? You know, if they kind of count themselves out at that point, they're not really going to stand a chance to compete at the end of the day and contend come the weekend. So you're right, that mentality of just grinding it out, you know, making par after par, even bogeys when, you know, bogey looks like an unlikely score, you know, you have to look at that as a win. So those are certainly the guys you want to look toward this week, you know, if you're building a fantasy team or some sort of pool at work or with friends. That's the sort of guy who's probably going to contend here.
Yeah. Speaking of picking names, who of the big four, and I know there's controversy over even if we have a big four, but between Jason and Jordan and Ricky and Rory, who do you like this week? For me, it has to be Jason Day. If he can drive the ball straight, I think that his improved putting over the last couple of years is really going to fuel him this week.
Yeah, gotta like Jason Day. I think he's the favorite, in my mind at least. His game tee to green is just superior. If you're a guy who could hit a 290-yard 2-iron at will, then you gotta, you know, have some advantage over the field speed. You know, this is a thinking man's course for sure. So Jordan Spieth, he's, you know, you would figure that he's going to contend. His short game is stout, and he just finds a way to get the ball in the hole at any given time. So you would figure that he's a factor here. We've seen him be sort of inconsistent scoring-wise this year. He obviously put it all together at Colonial and got it done there, and that was the big comeback win. So you'd think that his game is, you know, is coming around at the right time and peaking at the right moment of the year. So you gotta like Spieth's chances, you would think, if his game is on. And Ricky, I'm not so sure. he does rank great in the strokes gained tee to green stat. I think he's fifth on tour this year, so that's sort of a stat you would look at for guys who are going to be able to keep the ball in the fairway and give themselves a chance to put it on the green. Ricky does grind it out well. He's played well in British Opens before, but it just seems like his game isn't where it should be to peak at the time of a major. I think he's missed like three of his last five cuts, so just recent form, I wouldn't love his chances here. Would it surprise me if he contends? Not really, because he plays great golf course as well, but at the end of the day, out of these four guys, at least I wouldn't like his chances. And Rory, I think it depends. Again, if you get a setup that's a little, soft and he could fire at some pins, then, maybe this is a course he could play well at. It's tough to tell with really no experience for him here. He's playing very good golf, so his form is good. It's just a matter of whether he can kind of grind it out and get over that hump, which is sort of the bugaboo of his game. Is, he's not a guy who's going to grind out pars and love pars. He's someone who's, when his game is on, he's firing at all cylinders, firing at pins, and that's not the type of game that would typically set up well at Oakmont. So, we'll see. Those four guys are four of the best players in the world, so it wouldn't be a surprise to anyone if they're up there on Sunday. So, out of those four, Day and Spieth, but kind of like Rory, if the course suits him.
Who's your sleeper this week? For me, it's Jason Duffner. I think if he drives it well, this is a tailor-made Jason Duffner golf course.
The only question would be his putting, but in 2007 he was up there, I think, 36 holes, he was a couple back. So, certainly when you're talking about a ball striker's course, he would do well, and he sort of has that mentality, you're right, of someone who's okay with pars, and he doesn't show a lot of emotion out there. So, that'd be great if the Duff man contends a little bit. That adds excitement come the weekend. It's a sleeper, but no one's really talking about Brent Snedeker that much. He's at 50-1. Someone who plays tough golf course as well. He won this year at Torrey Pines, which has played the toughest of any course that they've played on tour this season. Mm-hmm. The scoring average was 74.5, and Snedeker won there. His putting is, when he's on, he's probably one of the best putters in the world. So he's shown time and time again that his game can peak for the majors. So if he's healthy and he's feeling okay, I think Snedeker can contend. I also like Kuchar a bit. Maybe not to win, but Kuch is great at those top fives and top tens. So that's kind of a safe bet, I think. So it's a tough week to kind of handicap because you don't really know what game, you don't know what sort of game is going to do great here. You just know that you have to be playing excellent golf to be in contention here. So I kind of look for a mix of recent form with playing really tough golf course as well with, the acumen of contending when it comes to major championship golf.
Certainly this is a tough week to figure out who the heck's going to do whatever, because it's, if somebody shoots 80, they're not necessarily out of it, which is the really, really weird part. One bad round and you're not toast, which is odd. With that in mind, Steve Hennessy from Golf Digest, your champion of the United States Open Championship is?
I'm going... you're right. It's so tough. It's hard to give one name.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go with Jason Day, but that's not really different or interesting. I think Day and Dustin Johnson would be the two guys I would put up there, but the fact that Spieth has had a chance to win the last five majors they've played, and he's finished so great in all of them, would not be a surprise if he's the champion at the end of the day too. So I think those three guys for me would be my champions at the end of the week.
And for me, I'm going to say Jason, but that's not the sexy pick. I think Phil, if Phil can just drive it well, and watching him last night, he at times looks so good. And if he can just cut down on the way, way, wayward drives, there is graduated rough, so his just off the fairway drives may be okay. If he can just take the foul ball out, he is playing well enough to get this win. And I think for him to win this, it may be the most popular win of any major championship in golf since Tiger in 08. I really think the public conscience would love this win.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is he completed the career grand slam here after six runner-ups. And, I mean, it would be hilarious because how much he complained at Oakmont the last time. But I think it would just make it all that more fitting that this is where he got it done. So, man, that would be interesting for sure.
Yes, it would. Steve Hennessy from Golf Digest, thanks as always for coming on Teeing It Up.
All right, Jeremy. Enjoy the Open.
Back live here on Teeing It Up. I don't know if we're going to get a second guest. If we don't get a second guest now, we will most likely have a second guest via SoundCloud podcast. So you can listen to that at a later time. Whenever you want, check my Twitter feed at Jay Shill. Check my Facebook page for more information on that. As we look at the weather, we'll take a look at the weather here briefly. Got a situation here where it's 77 and sunny right now in Plum, Pennsylvania, but looking long term, it's at 90% rain chance on Thursday, and with scattered thunderstorms in the morning becoming more widespread in the afternoon. Obviously, if that happens, we would have a delay of play issue, weather delay issue, most commonly known, and then which would obviously back things up and change the schedule, and then moving into the weekend. Morning showers on Friday with some sunshine later. And then after that, it clears out really nicely, 85 on Saturday, 86 on Sunday. We get into a nice weather pattern. So we will see how that progresses. We have an Olympics situation. We have Tim Wilkinson who has withdrawn. Tim Wilkinson, who was basically in the Olympics for New Zealand. He was currently the fourth alternate for New Zealand. And he has chosen to focus on the PGA Tour. He needs to keep his PGA Tour status. And he's choosing to focus on that versus the Olympics if he should make it. It's interesting. It's not Zika. It's not scheduling. This one I can kind of sort of understand. We are going to have our second guest, so I will interrupt that train of thought. Take this call as soon as it comes through. System can be very weird, very, very weird at times. There we go. And we welcome for his first appearance ever on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling, Mr. Jordan Klopski. Hello, sir.
Hey, Jeremy. Thanks for having me on. This is awesome. I'm excited.
My pleasure. Thank you for calling in. Let's dive right into it. When you look at this U.S. Open, and when you look at the setup and the fact that it's going to be hard, and even though the rain may make it easier, it's going to be hard. We know that. Who are the names right now that you're eyeing on that you may pick this week?
Should we start with the obvious names, or should we, I guess we'll
start
with the top.
Well, however you want. So, yeah, if you want to start with the obvious guys, go right ahead.
I mean, I like guys that, even though it's a shorter course, I still like the guys that are pretty long, that can use a variety of clubs off the tee, that could be a little bit creative depending on the conditions this week and how the rough ends up being come Thursday morning. So at the top of the big three, the one that I like the most, this isn't going to be any big surprise, but it's Jason Day. I think that with the 2-iron in his bag that he can just hit all day long if he wants to, could be a game changer. Obviously, his driver is a game changer, and around the greens, he's as good as anybody right now.
You know, for me, it's interesting because he hits the 1 and the 2-iron so far, and if we get firm and fast conditions, especially by the weekend, the fact that you can hit his driving iron 300 is such an advantage because of the accuracy that that presents. It's interesting because I love Jason Day. He's my co-favorite along with Phil. I just have a gut feeling about Phil. But I look at Jordan, who has had issues with foul balls this year, Rory, who has had issues at times this year with consistency, and Ricky, who is on a real cold streak right now. Of the big four, I don't like any of them a lot, but I really do like Jason and the way he's been striking it.
Yeah, of the four, I actually like Jason and Ricky the most, and I'm not usually a Ricky guy. Jordan, I mean, I love Jordan Spieth, but I think this is not the week that you can be in the rough. And Rory, I just don't trust the short game. I don't trust the putter. But obviously, any one of those guys, really any one of the three, Day, Spieth, or Rory winning would not be too much of a surprise.
And for me, and someone just pointed this out to me on Twitter, Rory is 10 to fare well on wet, soft golf courses, not exactly firm and fast golf courses. He just won in a complete swamp in Ireland. So,
yeah.
So that issue could be a factor. And if it rains, and if it rains hard on Thursday and changes the whole complexion of this golf course and championship, who knows? The next level down, so not your, you know, who the hell is this out of nowhere, but your next level down guy. For me, that guy is Jason Duffner. I think this is a perfect Duffner week. He's even keeled. He shows zero emotion. He drives it dead straight. If his putter is anywhere near on, I think Jason Duffner could really contend in this championship.
I love Duff. I'm with you on that. Just a little bit higher up. I think that DJ is going to compete. Will he ever actually be able to close anything out? I'm not sure, but his form is amazing right now. He seems to be a top 10 every single week. So I like DJ to win. And if you're playing DraftKings, to be near the top. And if you're playing DraftKings, I think he's a great guy to anchor a team because he just knows how to compete and put up a score. And he bounces back pretty well. And so I like him to be near the top. And I'm also of a soft spot for Patrick Reed. He's never had a top 10 in a major, but has like 9 top 10s on the year. He's a great scrambler. He's a pretty clutch putter. And just by his demeanor, it's pretty surprising that he doesn't have a top 10 in a major. I think it probably is one of the things that bugs him the most about his short career so far. So I think that if he does get into contention, he's the kind of guy that will grind his way, and seems to be the kind of guy that would play well in the U.S. Open.
We're talking with my pal Jordan Klosky about the U.S. Open. Jordan, the next level down is fascinating because when you start getting to the guys that are kind of known quantities and kind of not known quantities, this is where it gets interesting because, you know, go back to Augusta. Danny Willett was known to guys who watch golf every week. He was not quite known to a lot of the golfing public. For me this week, that guy is Matthew Fitzpatrick, who just came off a victory on the European Tour. I really like what Matthew's done. Who is your guy who's kind of known but off the radar?
Mark Leishman. I think that he's done well in majors before. He's obviously never won a major, but Australians have a pretty good track record also pretty recently. He's decently long. But he hits a ton of fairways. He has a good approach game. I don't know. I can see him competing. I don't know about necessarily winning, but I like Mark Leishman. I like Danny Lee. I think he's had a tremendous year, and he's pretty straight off the tee also, and he plays pretty well at some of the tougher courses. Those two guys I like a lot. There's a ton. I love this group, like this third tier, I guess you would call it. There's a ton of guys that I like in this group.
Yeah. Let's take a step back for a second. Daniel Berger won last week. Some guys like to play their way into a major. Some guys don't. I know you like Berger and like his game, but do you think he can translate it to Oakmont this week?
I think he's going to play well this week. I think I saw on Instagram that he was here at Oakmont 2 weeks ago practicing, which I'm sure a lot of the guys have been doing. He's got a great game. He's under control. I think he's kind of the demeanor to play well in majors. So, I like his game. I think he'll play well this week, actually. I don't know about winning, but, maybe an outside chance at the top 10.
Who don't you like this week?
I'm not sold on let's look at the top. I don't think Justin Rose, even though he has a U.S. Open to his name, won at Marion. And I think that was that the last major that the winner was over par? Was that Marion?
I will look that up right now. I'm not sure, but
I think it was. But I just think that his putting stroke is, like, a mess right now. And he's not having the typical Justin Rose season. I don't really see him competing this week. Adam Scott also worries me, although he's so consistent and makes a ton of cuts, basically makes every single cut, and he's got Stevie on the bag this week. I just don't know if his putting stroke will hold up also. And let's see, who else from that list? And Henrik. I mean, I love Henrik Stenson, but he's having a pretty bad year by his standards as well, and I don't know from the top if he's going to be able to get it under control for the kind of conditions they're expecting. Although, like you said, if the rain comes in and it softens up the greens just a little bit, it could change the complexion of the week.
Yeah, it absolutely could. By the way, you are correct. Rose won that championship at one over par. For me, it's Bubba Watson. Bubba loves to drive it far, but he drives it way offline. This is not Augusta. You can't hit hero shots out of pine straw this week. Whether it's wet, dry, whatever it is, I just don't see Bubba Watson having that victory this week. Plus, he doesn't have his 2007 yardage books. Paula Creamer does. Paula Creamer won the 2010 U.S. Women's Open at Oakmont and never gave Bubba his yardage books back. So that, I think, is a poor omen this week for Bubba Watson. Here's the other thing that I look at, which is if you look at some of these storybook guys, and there's a whole lot of Cinderella stories, but you look at somebody like a Jim Furyk, who is from the Pittsburgh area, great story, but I just don't think Furyk, for example, has had enough consistency. I don't see a fairy tale player, whether it's a known quantity or a not known quantity, coming up with a victory this week.
Yeah, I agree. I asked you a couple of weeks ago how Furyk's hand was going because I thought he was going to play well in what was it? Was it the Memorial or was it the week before?
Yeah.
But he's not having a great season. He hasn't fully. I don't know if he's fully 100% yet or if he's still working his way back. And the U.S. Open's not kind of the week where you can still be working your way back into playing shape. I agree with that. Do you think there is a chance for a first time major winner, or is it going to be definitely somebody that's won a major?
It's a fantastic question. I really think it is just because of how deep golf is and just because, depending on what the weather does, somebody could shoot 80 and still win this golf championship. And you take somebody, I'm just going to pick a name out of this list here. You pick somebody, Kevin Chappell, right, who's still looking for his first PGA Tour victory. You look at someone like Chappell, who has been close, knocking on the door, maybe gets a little nervous, shoots a bad round. The weather, if we end up in a British Open, like, wave championship where one wave does way, way, way better than another, I think that's a really interesting scenario where somebody could break out of a pack and end up with a win, and whether it's their first time major win, like a Kuchar, or it's their first win period, like a Kevin Chappell, I think that could definitely happen.
How do you think Willett's going to play?
Amazing.
Off the Masters.
Or major wins.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? He's not the greatest closer. I mean, I think he has like 7 wins to his career, so that's obviously a pretty good amount. But he's had a lot of chances that he's given away in the last 3 or 4 holes of the tournament.
He really has been inconsistent at inconsistent times, and when that happens, been inconsistent at times where you can't be inconsistent, and when that happens, that hurts you. Although Kuchar has played better this year than last year, and almost won at Jack's Place, so I think that is a good omen for him. Let me ask you 2 more questions. Number one, any other fantasy notes, things that you have in your head, thoughts, just things that you wanted to touch on?
So, sure. When I'm filling out my roster, and I do, as you know, I do DraftKings, but any fantasy, whether it's your PGA Tour fantasy or DraftKings or FanDuel or anything like that, I like to look for guys that are a little bit under the radar, that may just be getting overlooked a lot. So in the U.S. Open, you get a lot of people like that, especially some of the Europeans. So I'll throw it right back at you. Is there a European or maybe somewhere or a non-American that you're looking at that might not be getting so much attention coming into the U.S. Open? Besides Fitzpatrick, who you already mentioned.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick for one. It's interesting. You look at Mandy Sullivan, who did well at a couple World Golf Championship events last year. Graham McDowell has been inconsistent since he won his Open in 2010. Sergio is the name that kind of pops up there, and obviously Sergio had a great time at the Byron Nelson, but he's the name that kind of pops up there. Brandon Grace, who almost won this championship last year if it wasn't for hitting it onto the train tracks at Chambers Bay at 16. And then Louis Oosthuizen, who almost won last year too, and almost won something else this year too. Those guys have knocked on the door several times. I think in the Grace and the Oosthuizen and the Sergios, it's about the mental hurdle. For somebody like Andy Sullivan, it is, I've got nothing to lose. Just let it run, let it roll, and see what happens from there. I think that is the more interesting name, I think, because he can fly under the radar like Danny did at Augusta versus guys like Louis and Grace and Sergio that would start attracting attention.
Yeah, I agree. Andy's not – I don't think he's had the best year this year, but he's definitely a name that I always look out for. When he does come over and play in the States. Another one that's an old name, but he's been playing great and he had a great week at Augusta is Lee Westwood. And I think he kind of has the game that could be good for this kind of track. He's still pretty long for his age, but he hits it pretty straight also. And I think he's kind of over the hasn't won a major weighing on his back and is more kind of just, obviously still wants it, but it's kind of entered a second or third phase of his career where, you know, maybe some of that pressure is off a little bit. And, you know, he played great at Augusta. And, you know, depending on what the weather does and where he's teeing off and, you know, kind of if any luck is on his side, he could have a great week also. So I like Lee Westwood a little bit. And I also like Luke Donald coming, you know, he's been playing better as of recently, showing some more form. And his short games is still as good as anybody, and his putter is still, you know, towards the top of the entire tour. So I like those two guys, both old names, Both have been around for a while. Both haven't won a major. But I could see either or both of them competing this week.
The thing about those last two names is that those guys have had off-the-course issues. Lee Westwood went through a divorce. He moved back overseas to be closer to his kid. Luke Donald changed coaches, changed philosophies, wanted to hit it longer, then decided, nah, I don't want to do that anymore, went back to his old coach. For those guys, it's a mental hurdle. It is a pure mental hurdle over can they do what they want to do down the stretch and accomplish it down the stretch. And I think that's a very interesting prospect to think about, and two very interesting names when it comes to who could possibly win. This brings us to the last and final question for Mr. Jordan Plofsky to answer on Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling, and that is your champion of the United States Open Championship at Oakmont is...
Can I give you two answers?
You can give me two answers. I'm giving two answers anyway, so it's fine.
Okay, so my brain thinks is going to win is I think it's going to be Jason Day. I think he's just so consistent. His game from tee to green is so great, and he's got the even though he's got a little bit of a cold or whatever's being reported, he's fine. And he's got the strongest mental game of any guy out there. I really believe that. So I really like Jason Day's chances. And then for somebody that just is a great price for a two-time major champion who's showing a little bit of more form as of late and is kind of being overlooked and has a sporadic game, but when his game is on, he's shown he can win U.S. Opens. I kind of like Martin Keimer. So that's a little bit more out of left field. That one is I'd like that one to come through. It helped to help out my bank account a little bit. But those are my two names, Jason Day and Martin Keimer.
Interesting. It is Keimer's a guy that got the win at Pinehurst and has not played consistent golf since, has trouble hitting a draw, which some golf courses obviously require, and has not been consistently since. That's an interesting pick. For me, it's Jason Day and it's Phil. If Phil can not hit the foul balls and keep the ball in play, I believe we have seen enough from his game this year and enough with Andrew Getson that I believe he could pick up a win. Jordan, it has been a pleasure having you on Teeing It Up, and I look forward to having you back soon.
All right. Thanks, Jeremy. Good luck this week, and hopefully it's a good tournament for us all to watch.
I hope so, too. That is it for Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling. We will see you back Monday, 6 Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio, the Golf News Net Radio Network, and iTunes.